I love the reminder that pops up every now and again on Facebook, and it just says this, that just remember that professionals built the Titanic and an amateur built the Ark. And the picture that attends that is the broken Titanic sinking and the floating Ark. Now, that's not an invitation for every man and his auntie to go out there and become an amateur boat builder and inflict the boating public with their floating hulks or their sinking hulks, whatever it might be. What it is a reminder that ordinary people, under the direction of God, can do extraordinary things. And it seems to me that the Christmas story is just full of that motto of ordinary people expressing extraordinary faith. I think about Joseph. What a remarkable young man. Joseph has two dreams, and in one of those dreams, he receives information which is beyond his comprehension and his assimilation. The information that he receives is this, that his fiancée, actually the woman that he's betrothed to, is Mary, and betrothal is somewhere between engagement and marriage, but Mary is pregnant. Well, it was known that she was pregnant, but the news that he receives is that she is pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Now, Joseph is not a fool. Joseph knows how babies are conceived. And he knows that didn't happen. And this information that he receives, that his future wife, Mary, is pregnant by the Holy Spirit, is beyond comprehension. Actually, it still is. There are many people who want to offer rational suggestions as to how and why this happened. And one of the suggestions is that it was what we call parthenogenesis. There's a complicated word for a Christmas morning. Parthenogenesis is a compound Greek word, parthenos, virgin, genesis, creation. It happens actually in the plant world, and it happens also in some species and classes of animals. And apparently, it's been known to happen in the human race. Virgin birth has been known to happen. Well, it's been reported to happen. Now, of course, as you would know, there's all sorts of questions around that and all kinds of parameters for determining whether, in fact, a virgin has given birth. But in every time that it's been reported, whether confirmed or not, the child that has been born is a daughter and not a son. And those of you who know rudimentary biology would know that it would have to be a daughter and not a son. Well, fortunately, Joseph is blissfully unaware of parthenogenesis. And his, perhaps, confusion and his inability to assimilate this information does not negate in any way, shape, or form his faith. And the Bible tells us that when Joseph woke up from the dream, he did exactly what the angel had commanded him to do. That's an ordinary man expressing extraordinary faith. And then I think of Mary. Mary had her own visitation from the angel Gabriel. And the Bible tells us that when Gabriel appeared to Mary, she was very perplexed. Well, why wouldn't you be? When God sent angels, he didn't send them the size of a jockey with a high-pitched voice. That's my interpretation. Not that there's anything wrong with a jockey with a high-pitched voice. But angels were large, and angels had the voice like rushing waters. And when this angel, Gabriel, appeared to Mary, she was perplexed. And the angel says to this young girl, "Don't be afraid, because you will give birth to the Messiah, Well, if she was afraid before, I want to say she's afraid now. Very afraid. And you are to call him the Son of God, the Most High. And he will reign over the house of, he will reign over the throne of David and over the house of Jacob, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And of course, in her humanity, in her frailty, she says, sure. Because this happens every second day, doesn't it? She says, how will this happen? And Gabriel says to her, the power of the Most High will come upon you, and the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. That's how it will happen. And I want to say to you, I think perhaps Mary assimilated about 1% of what she heard in that visitation. But the Bible says this, and Mary says, may it be unto me exactly as you have said, for I am the Lord's servant. Wow. That's extraordinary faith. And then I think about the shepherds out of our reading this morning. And the shepherds are out in the hills of Bethlehem, actually out in the plains and the hills. And we know that Jesus wasn't born on the 25th of December at the winter solstice for a number of reasons. One is that, there's a whole convoluted calculation that you can do that revolves around Zechariah's rotation as a priest, and you add up the months and so on and so forth. But we know at least one of the reasons that Jesus wasn't born on the 25th of December was that the shepherds were tending their flocks out in the hills at night. And I want to tell you that you wouldn't do that right after the winter solstice, because it's cold in the northern hemisphere in winter. And so the shepherds were out there tending their sheep, and it's most probably September, October, the seventh month of the Jewish calendar overlaps September and October, most probably then, late autumn, and they're watching their sheep, and they encounter the greatest sound and light show ever. Those of you who have been here for a while will remember that after carols, we used to have fireworks. Remember that? And that's back in the day when we had the carols out at the school. And that all began with someone very generously offering to be a sponsor for the fireworks. And then as the years progressed, we were encouraged as a church more and more to contribute, which we did. And I remember one year the all-up cost would have paid off the national debt. And I remember that night sort of looking up as the fireworks exploded, going, there's $100, there's $200. But it was a wonderful finale to a great night, and we should always be very grateful to that original sponsor who wants to remain nameless. So it was a great sound and light show, but I want to say to you that this is the greatest sound and light show ever. So these ordinary shepherds are tending their flocks at night, and suddenly an angel of the Lord appears to them and glory shines around them. And they were afraid. Why? Because they're ordinary shepherds. You don't see this in the NIV, but in the old authorized version, it says they were sore afraid. We don't use that word anymore because it's just not, it doesn't make sense. But what it means is this, that they were that afraid that they hurt. And why wouldn't you be? And the angel says to them, be not afraid, because today I bring you, this is good news, because today in David's town is born to Mary. No. The angel says, today in David's town is born to you. Unpopular, can't be trusted in a court of law, less popular than a second-hand car salesman, shepherds. The very margins of culture And the angel says to them, today is born to you. Have you ever noticed that in the text? And then there comes the heavenly host, the army of God, the same army of angels that appeared to Elijah and Elisha. And then came the sound, glory to God in the highest. Now, when the light show was over, the sound and the light show was over, the Bible tells us something remarkable. It says, the shepherd says, let us go and see this thing that has happened. Now again, really bad translation, because what's missing there is the Greek word now. The shepherds say, let's go now. Let's not wait till the morning. Let's not wait another 10 minutes. Let's go right now and see this thing that has happened. Wow. And from incredible fear that actually created physical pain comes remarkable faith when they say, let's go now. Well, 2,000 years have passed since that incredible event. And I wonder if people knew that God was present and visible around the corner, whether they would go now and see him. Seems to me that in the interval, many people have thought or been impacted or considered the reality of the presence of God and have just waited their good old time, and some haven't even seen him at all. The shepherd said, let's go now. No delay. And then it says, and they made haste. And haste is not like a Christmas treat. Haste is they went quickly. They went quickly to see this thing that had happened. Ordinary men, yet extraordinary faith. And that just bubbles out of the Christmas story continually. I want to say to you, as you contemplate the year to come, that you and I are ordinary people. And I don't mean that in the pejorative sense. When someone says to you, oh, do you know so-and-so? And you say, oh, yeah, they're pretty ordinary. Or, you know, your weather forecast or your weather summaries, oh, it's pretty ordinary weather. I just mean ordinary in the sense of garden variety people. And God is in the habit and in the work, the job of taking people like you and me in our frailty, in our fears, in our lack of comprehension. And he wants our faith to go further than the assimilation of knowledge so that we might do extraordinary things for him. That's one of the many messages that come out of this wonderful Christmas story. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this day. We know it's not the day that Jesus was born, but it's the day that we mark the birth of Jesus. But we thank you that that baby grew, became a young man who honored his mum and dad. Then he became a man and ministered in the region of Israel, the nation that we call Israel, that he healed the sick, that he fed the hungry, he taught the scriptures, and ultimately he died a horrible death on a cross. But it doesn't end there. He rose again 3 days later and he ascended. And he said, stay and receive the Holy Spirit. And we have received the Holy Spirit, those of us who are followers of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit confirms the truth of the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit graciously gives us the gifts of God. And the Holy Spirit brings to mind the things of God and increases our faith. So we offer ourselves to you this season, frail, ordinary people, that we might be filled afresh with your Spirit, that you might use us to do your work and your will in the year to come. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.